to start winging it, what records are being kept and how and the like, because we are setting expectations. I don't think it's fruitful.
And beyond that, I'm missing the point. I mean, the point that I was trying to make earlier in the comment that I made was I wanted there to be checks and balances in the system as to how our officers were used vis-a-vis the FBI. The FBI plays by a different set of rules than officers in the state of Oregon, and the entire point of this exercise has been to make sure our officers are used appropriately. How or why it is even relevant, how often they're used, understanding that they're working within the context of our relationship as outlined in our agreement with the FBI, is lost on me. I'm not understanding the relevance of that to whether or not officers are abusing the rights of citizens. I mean, if they're spending, 20 hours in a quarter versus 200 hours in a quarter, what relevance does that have as to whether or not they're doing what they're supposed to be doing appropriately? I just missed the point.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish, you come from a legal background. I come from a nursing background. In nursing, if it's not documented, it wasn't done. And what we found in my practice was that by documenting near misses, by documenting and tracking the amount of time that we spent on particular issues, we could see trends and we could see where things were starting to need more attention and more oversight from supervisors. And we know that in some of the issues we're dealing with in the police force now, we're working with people with mental illness because we don't have documentation. We are now trying to backfill the system to figure out how do we then track. So to me, the tracking is hugely important, and it was what I was expecting last year, and so I'm trying to get some clarity as to what I can expect next year so that I might be able to vote yes on this report, because right now I can't.
But help me understand, because I'm not a lawyer either, so I'm help me understand why, whether you read they're spending 20 hours or 200 hours makes any difference at all as to whether they have respected the constitutional rights of the people being investigated.
We're not asking, we're asking for the hours. We're also asking for the level of investigation.
But to release that publicly, I mean, I guess I'm not understanding how that serves the public's best interest, nor have I ever even suggested from my own perspective that I want the public, and to be very more specific, people out there that would do ill to us, to know how many resources we devote to the effort to keep us safe and how we're using those resources. Why in the world will we publicly disclose that? I don't understand.
Well, to read from the ACLU's letter, if the FBI requested the police bureau is made during either the assessment or preliminary investigation stage, it should automatically trigger heightened inquiry by the chief, the commissioner in charge, and the active involvement of the city attorney to ensure that the city's involvement will not violate either the resolution or Oregon law. Thus, it is critical for the public and the council to know how many inquiries the Portland Police Bureau officers have participated in and what stage, as classified by the FBI. If we knew that, then our office, if we knew that if any of our officers have been working on assessments or preliminary, if we knew that few, if any of our officers works on either assessments or preliminary investigations, it would go a long way towards public verification that the city is in compliance with the resolution and Oregon law. And why I'm challenged by this is I understand that there have been very few hours spent on this collaboration.
We're not discussing that. So I'm not recognizing you further, Commissioner Fritz. You're straying into an area that isn't appropriate for this venue. I'm going to, as commissioner in charge, I'll take this conversation under advisement. We make no commitments, and we also don't rule out anything. We'll talk about it and decide whether or not to reply in this matter. I would say this, though, and I would respectfully submit it, it's assumed with the best of intentions in the concerns about hours worked, is there is a misconception that that somehow even at the earliest stages of an assessment or the preliminary inquiries that somehow Oregon law doesn't apply, and it does. It absolutely does. All of Oregon law and every aspect of this resolution, whether it is a simple tip to go find out if there's a cat in a tree and it has something to do with JTTF, our officers have to, and everyone in the chain of command has to follow Oregon law, which is different than federal law. So there is no, I understand there's concerns that perhaps we could get an assignment from the FBI that somehow in the end turns out to be contrary to Oregon law. We don't take those assignments if there's doubt. And if there is ever, as we move along, any inkling that it could go in that direction, we don't do. So, thank you both very much. Would you please call the vote?
Fritz. I do appreciate all of the good work that has been done on this issue, the affirmations by the mayor and the chief of police and the diligent work of the city attorney. It's clear that the intent of the resolution passed last year is being honored. However, I expected more transparency, and what we're facing here is the lack of trust from the community, and that was the problem last year. And I said, trust us, we'll show in a year that this is going to work out. I'm very concerned to hear that the Arab American community is not participating as much anymore. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about trust in our government. And I don't see, as I say, I'm not a lawyer, I don't see why providing a little more numerical information would harm the public good. I'm sure I will get some tutoring on that in the days to come, but for right now, I can't vote to support this. No.
Fish?
So, I just want to go back a little bit, following Randy's lead on this, to just how we got to this point. Prior to the resolution that we're now enforcing, this council over a 6 to 9 month period had a vigorous debate about whether to revisit our participation in the Joint Terrorist Task Force and what would be the terms. And it was a unique debate in my service. And it's, in fact, the only debate that I participated in where I literally spent hours meeting with the mayor and colleagues, council, Ellen and I became good friends, the chief, advocates, because I did not have the benefit of the history that Randy alluded to. I was not on the council when this fight first began. Mayor Adams spent an enormous amount of time in his office, in my office, and the two of us methodically worked through issues and tried to understand what was at stake, what were the legal rights, how do you balance them. Toward the end, until about a week from the vote, I stopped having confidence we could get a 5-0 vote of the council because I thought there was still a kind of a split. But with some heavy lifting and a very collegial exercise, we got there and we had the council unify. And frankly, I don't think anyone thought that this mayor could do that. I think it was going to be a fractured vote. But we did, and I was very proud of that moment. It was actually one of the things I'm proudest of during my service, that we came together and everyone had to give a little bit, but we came to something that you could unite behind. And I think that was important, because if we were saying to the community that we're going to strengthen our participation, our role in a process people had doubts about, we had to be very clear that we were also focused on people's legal rights and the constitutional statutory issues. And Randy, I think, uses the right word. What's the balance? You know, what I appreciate about my dealings with the ACLU is that they are never satisfied with the balance. But that's actually in their charter. It's not a reflection of David's personality or Roger Baldwin's quirk. That is the function of the ACLU is never to be satisfied because they are always going to be advocating for a particular balance. And that's their role, and we respect it. And in this case, I'm very appreciative of the 20-odd page memo and the phone calls and the briefings that followed this past week. But we're trying to seek a balance, and we have to balance a number of things. We have to make sure when we go to bed at night that we feel people in Portland are safe, but not at the expense of erosion of fundamental rights enshrined in our state and federal constitution and our laws. And, you know, that's a big debate. That debate is about 200 and something years old. And we may, you know, people probably still think we haven't gotten it right, but we're part of that debate. That's what this council is doing. We're part of that tradition of trying to find the balance. When the original documents came out for council consideration, I had some concerns about them. And I appreciated the input I received from many, including Andrea, and the time I spent with the chief and the mayor's staff and our esteemed council. And I really appreciate this amended resolution that's come before council. And David, I appreciate also the way you walked us through it, because we don't often get that kind of a lawyerly walkthrough, you know, the changes and what it means. I believe those changes have, in my view, have addressed my concerns. There is now more meat on the bone, clarity. And in fact, in fairness, some of the concerns that were raised were you didn't clearly state something, not that there was some fundamental defect. And I think it's clearer. Ultimately, and we can get lost in the weeds here, ultimately, this does work on the basis of a certain kind of trust. We as a council have said that we will accept the certification of the police chief and the mayor on this. There was nothing in our underlying resolution which said each of us were going to go trace their steps, yada, yada, yada. We purposely set up the framework, and then we delegated. And I believe this report meets the letter and the spirit of what this council proposed. Now, we will hear over time people say that we can do a better job, or there can be more transparency or more accountability, and as people should. That's their right, and we'll continue to have this discussion. But this is the first report, and I'm satisfied that this report meets the council's intent. Ultimately, for me, it's a question of, are we safer without sacrificing cherished values? And that's the balance. And I believe we are safer today than we were before we adopted this new approach on JTTF. But I'm grateful for people who come forward and hold us accountable on the other side of the ledger about our rights. And this is a work in progress. Mayor, thank you for the work you did. I don't know where you actually get time to sleep, but the last few days you had a few other things on your plate. Fisher Leonard, thank you for the leadership that you've taken on this. To the chief and Ellen, thank you. And to the advocates who weighed in, I thought the submissions were very thoughtful, as always, and helped shape, and I think the product is better because of it. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the mayor and the chief and Ellen, the lieutenant and the assistant chief. I think this is a great report. It really, I like how it tracks the resolution. That makes it very simple. And, you know, I want to particularly make a few thank yous to how we got to a 5-0 vote. It was in addition to the mayor's work. You know, I do want to thank former U.S. Attorney Dwight Holton for the considerable amount of effort, time and effort he devoted to this. And I also want to, you know, make sure I did not, in a previous meeting where I did express my concerns about the original ACU request for information that be released in this first report, I thought it was a little unrealistic, and I think some of this discussion tracks that, but I still want to make sure that I do thank the ACLU. In particular, Andrea Meyer, in case she's listening. Andrea, I do thank you for your participation.
She's listening.
I know she's listening. but also David. Like I said, we don't always agree, but I have a lot of respect for what you do, and I know that Andrea spent a lot of time on this too, and I want to make sure that I convey my gratitude to her as well. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, as I said, I think this is an exercise that probably for an elected body is amongst the most important work that we do. And I think it's the one place where we set aside, to the extent we can, political differences and try for the sake of public safety to find the balance that provides our citizens to be safe and secure in their homes and in our city, while at the same time assuring citizens that have different political beliefs or ascribe to religion other than mainstream religions, who look different, who may dress different, who may behave different, who may speak different, that they too have the same rights as everybody else in our city. And achieving that balance is not easy. Nobody's worked over the years in public life closer with the ACLU than I have in the legislature and here, and I think they would tell you that. But like Commissioner Fish, I will tell you I recognize what their job is, and that's to advocate. And we have to balance what it is that they argue for with what our responsibility is, and that is ultimately to make sure we give our police bureau the resources it needs to protect us, that we have agreements in place that supplements their resources to make sure they protect us. And by all means, I will just make clear from my perspective, I don't want the chief's calendar to display all his meetings with the FBI relative to these issues. I don't want the officers' names revealed who are assigned to the JTTF. I don't want the number of hours the officers are working on cases, whether it's a lot or small, to be revealed, only because I don't want people who would do us harm to strategize around knowing how much we invest in the effort to protect ourselves or not. That is very much a strategy on the police bureau's part that I completely understand and support and defend. But having said that, I think that we have also demonstrated over the course of this history not the greatest track record in protecting the rights of minorities or people who don't look like us. And I only need to point to the executive order signed by President Roosevelt, as I've alluded to in this debate before, that interred Japanese Americans born in this country. But for being Japanese ancestry, they would have been free to roam through the country as anybody else, except that they were of Japanese ancestry. That lurks in the soul of this country, and we have to have checks and balances to assure ourselves that those kinds of things don't happen. I think we've done that with this agreement that does not have us join the JTF, but establishes a very, I think, practical relationship with the federal government to work with the JTTF on issues that could be of concern to the public safety of Portlanders. So I appreciate too the work of Mayor Adams. Chief Reese has done an exemplary job, and all those that have been involved in this debate in the last few weeks. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I too want to thank Chief Reese and his excellent team in striking the balance on a day-to-day basis of preventing any terrorism from occurring, but also upholding and protecting individual legal rights. Thank you as well to Ellen and the team at the Office of the City Attorney. Appreciate it very much. To Amrit Sandhu on my peacekeeping team. Thank you for all your work on this. To be clear, this isn't this is one of the few reports written in the nation on any joint terrorism task force. And it's reporting on one of the very few, if not the only, protocols for working with a JTTF. So the advocacy and the good, tough questions that have been asked and answered, I think, are key to making sure that we strike that balance. But that on top of the fact that you have before you a document that includes affirmations about compliance, and maybe we'll make this, you know, part of the ongoing protocol for all bureau managers, affirmations that there is compliance and the responsibility that comes with that, you know, that's unique as well. So I think we've made great progress in seeking to strike the balance not only locally, but when I read the newspapers and they say, well, Portland did this, why can't we sort of do this? I think that also shows that we've made some progress on the national discussion about striking the balance as well. So thank you all. Aye. We're recessed till tomorrow. Thank you all. So do you want to talk a few?